The Daily Connect Podcast.
It's Friday, the 11th of January 2019, and this is the Daily Connect Podcast. Hello, I'm Stephen Scott. Coming up, we are going to be finding out what is available on the streaming services, on TV, on film, and more this weekend. And something for the weekend, it returns for 2019 today. And we also get the very latest thoughts on the Bird Box Challenge. Blogger Holly Chook, a blogger from the website lifeofablindgirl.com, joins us to share her views. But first up, a new consultation has started on whether or not there should be more audio description on TV adverts. You might have spotted some adverts already having AD. Well, if it's something you think there should be more of, then Sonali Rai from RNIB wants you to get involved.
If you look at it from the user point of view, then it isn't a new conversation because we've received many emails, many requests. I've had many calls from end users, people who use audio description over the years, asking why can't TV commercials be made accessible in the same way as content is at the moment. So you're watching Hollyhocks and an advert break comes in. You've watched Hollyhocks with audio description, but as soon as the advert break starts, you have no idea what's going on. There's definitely a buzz around it. And it's great to see BCAP, which is the Broadcast Committee of Advertising Practice, looking at this from a wider perspective. They're actually consulting with blind and partially sighted people who use audio description, how they would like these TV commercials to be made accessible. What kind of content can actually be audio described? So as we discussed, you know, the ads are 30 seconds long. What RNIB will be recommending is that all TV ads must endeavor to make at least the key information clear through audio. So let's say, for example, you know, there's an ad for a supermarket. There's something new that's going to be introduced. But at the end of the advert, they don't mention their own name. You don't know what the product is. You don't know which supermarket. So it's not always about the story in the advert, but I think the key information is quite important. That needs to be made clear in audio. And there's a precedent here. I mean, look at the radio adverts. They are clear. Everything is clear through audio. So I think we need to start considering the needs of people with sight loss. And maybe the answer here is to make the adverts accessible right from the scratch. You know, integrate accessibility. I was part of a conversation recently where they were talking about, do we really need to make car adverts accessible? Because blind people are not going to drive. But that's not the point. The point is a blind or a partially sighted person could be in a position to make that decision for a family where they're going to own a car. So essentially, you're actually eliminating, you know, a customer group if you're not making your adverts accessible. So RNIB will be responding to the consultation, but equally, it's very, very important that blind, partially sighted people, AD users, and people in general respond to the consultation because the regulator needs to hear from end users how important audio description is, how important accessible ads are. The consultation ends on the 7th of February. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be by sending us an email, audiodescription@rnib.org.uk.
Thanks, Sonali. And as she says, get in touch, share your thoughts on this. If you would like to see more audio description on advertising, then get involved in the consultation.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio. And time now to check in with Life of a Blind Girl blogger, Holly Chook, who joins us on the line. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Now, listen, I wanted to get you back on because you'd emailed into the show earlier in the week following our conversation on the Bird Box Challenge, which has been causing quite a bit of confusion around the world, I think. People doing things that are, you know, they really shouldn't be doing, frankly. And you sent in your comments. I think it's fair to say you're against the idea of this Bird Box Challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a blogger, I think it reinforces stereotypes and misconceptions, which myself and other visually impaired bloggers try so hard to tackle and educate people on. And I just think it goes against that because I remember a few months ago, I think it was, RNIB did a How I See campaign. And they stated that 93% of blind or visually impaired people actually have some useful vision. And obviously putting a blindfold on and trying to do daily tasks goes against that.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. I don't think it's an accurate representation of sight loss at all. And it doesn't kind of tell people what it's like to be blind. And the kind of whole idea around it is obviously done as like a fear and a game. Obviously, blindness isn't that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had it happen yet, but I kind of wait for the day for someone to say, oh, you'll know all about this Bird Box challenge thing. You live every day.
Yeah.
And actually, that would be the worst thing to hear, wouldn't it? I mean, it takes a lot of time and a lot of work to be independent. It doesn't just happen overnight for any of us. And, you know, the idea that you just stick a blindfold on and you figure it out, as Sandra Bullock does in this movie, it doesn't reflect real life. What's your feelings on the movie itself? I mean, the movie doesn't really talk about blindness. That's not what the film's about. But inadvertently, it's become the subject of the movie. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite interesting how the movie has audio description. I thought that was good, because obviously sometimes that's the case where we don't have movies that have audio description and things like that. And yeah, it was quite interesting how blindness like wasn't a focus point of the movie. So in itself, I think it was some interesting, but obviously as blind people, we kind of took blindness away from it, which in a way maybe spoiled it for us or changed our opinion on it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you use the word spoilt it for us, because I kind of felt that with me. I almost felt in a way I didn't really want it to be about blindness. You just want to, sometimes, you know, and this might go against the grain, but, you know, some people who are blind don't want to talk about it all the time. So, you know, it's like, oh, really, blindness? Here we go. But, you know, I thought what was most interesting to me was the way that Sandra Bullock navigated her environment while she was blind. I mean, she seemed to... It tried its best, I think, to keep in with the story, which was that she had to survive, and to survive she had to do this. I get all that. And I know it's a movie, it's not real life. But, you know, the problem is that people do take things away from that these days. And, you know, when it becomes a challenge, it becomes more real. I think that's the point, isn't it? It becomes more real to people. It's like, well, now this is a real thing. And I worry that people do take away that, you know, well, Sandra Bullock figured out how to be blind in 5 minutes. So, you know, what are all you blind people moaning about?
Yeah, and the thing for us is obviously it takes us years of hard work, support and training for us to be able to do things like be independent, use a cane, do daily activities and everything like that, you know, just get around like sighted people. But for her to do that within, say, 5 minutes, that doesn't give an accurate representation of sight loss at all. So people are going to think, well, you don't need to do that now. What are you doing? Because Sandra Bullock did it, so why can't you do that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a worry, isn't it? You know, that people think that. And I guess I know we're kind of putting words in people's mouths, because I haven't heard that yet. But I do worry that these are the kind of comments that come out, because I have to say I've been around the planet long enough to know that it does happen. And I'm sure you've had experiences like this a lot. And, you know, you're in a different position to me, because you have that instant feedback from your audience where people will comment anonymously. In some cases. So they will say things that perhaps they might not say to your face. Do you get that?
Yeah, I don't have that often. But I have seen comments where people say, oh, this blind person has done that. Why don't you do that? Or have you seen that blind person, because they've done that? Are you going to do that? And I'm kind of like, no, I'm my own person. Just because they've done it, I maybe don't want to do that. Or, you know, we're the same as everyone else. We want to do different things. We want to achieve different things. And you can't categorize blind people as just being all the same.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, we're not all the same, and neither are all women the same, or all men the same, or all black people the same. You know, we're all different. We may have this label that's been put upon us, but it is what it is, really. I mean, you know, but that's as far as the label goes. It's interesting. You've written a blog, which, you know, has been around all of this. And what you wanted to do with the blog was you wanted to get people's views on this and share those views. So what have people been saying generally? I mean, are people thinking like us, or is there a mixture of opinion out there?
Yeah, people are mainly thinking like us, but there's been quite a few comments where people have had different opinions. Some people have said, you know, it reinforces stereotypes and misconceptions, but other people have also said it can get people talking, and it's for us to educate them on the reality of being blind or visually impaired. Some people have said it's just a kind of one-off fad of craze, so it's not going to be around for long, and there's always something like that, so I don't see the point. Some people have completely point blankly refuse to watch it because they say ableism is around constantly, so why do you want to address that in a movie? So it's quite interesting what everyone said. Everyone has a different opinion, and some people say that they like it, but most people have the idea, like us, that it's just not the actual reality of what it's like to be blind.
I'm going to ask this question because I don't know the answer to this, and I'm intrigued by this word. I've heard it before. I don't really understand what its use case is. So what is ableism to you? What do you read from that?
That's an interesting one because it's a word that I don't personally use, but has been a part of like the disabled Twitter community. I see it on there quite a lot. And I think what kind of people mean about that is when kind of able-bodied people or non-disabled people have an idea that's not the true picture of something. So they have an idea on blindness and it's not the correct idea. Or
almost like a stereotyping.
Yeah, and they're making assumptions around disability or things like that.
Right, okay. That's interesting. I'd heard the word, like you say, and I just didn't really understand what it meant. I had a slightly different view, so I'm glad you clarified that for me.
Yeah, it's not something I use that often.
No, but I can see why you would use it. I can see where you would use it. So generally, opinion is leaning towards this is not a great thing. I mean, it's certainly not a great thing from someone's life point of view. You know, you could die by doing this. I mean, there are people walking out in front of traffic, for goodness sake. You know, running around your house, you know, perhaps with, you know, things plugged in or whatever and you fall over something. That could be dangerous. Please don't do that.
I don't get why you'd want to do that, to be honest. And as blind people, we don't do that. So why would you want to do that just for the fun with a blindfold on?
But it does. It has raised the subject of blindness. That's for sure. It has brought it up. It has brought out conversations. I guess my concern has always been that with things like this, you know, in an environment where you or I are standing next to the person, we're able to correct them on their views. Well, actually, you know, we can make a cup of tea, but this is how we do it. Whereas if someone's watching this movie, then they see the campaign or the challenge or whatever you call it online, and they want to join it and do it, they don't have that person sitting next to them. They don't have the RNIB to say, look, actually, here are the facts. And I think this is actually, and in some ways, I hope it doesn't become a missed opportunity for charities like RNIB, Guide Dogs, others, to actually say, look, this is how blind people live their lives. This is how we navigate. It's hard, it's difficult, but we can do it. And I think it's up to them, don't you think, to actually make the point to say, here's the facts on blindness.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously it's down to them, but also in my blog post on it, I did write a few points of how you can actually find more out about blindness rather than doing the Bird Box Challenge. So I covered things like talking to blind and visually impaired people, using social media rather than just using it for the sake of it, use it to your advantage and engage with blind or visually impaired people, research assistive technology, talk to organisations such as RNIB and Guide Dogs, and maybe something like simple, such as watching your favourite TV programme or film with audio description. But yeah, I completely get what you mean. I think the facts from charities need to be out there, and I think they should be maybe using this as a positive way of giving their research and telling people this is what blind people can actually do. It's not all negative.
Exactly, exactly. Well, remind us again where we can get your blog and where you can read this one.
You can find me at lifeofablindgirl.com, and that blog post is the first one on my page. So it's called What Do Blind and Visually Impaired People Think About the Bird Box Challenge? Yeah, if you just head over to lifeofablindgirl.com, you'll find it there.
And you'll find out about Life of a Blind Girl. There you go. Don't have to watch Sandra Bullock pretend to be blind. You can find out what a real blind person lives like. Holly, thank you so much for coming on and have a good week.
Thank you for having me as always. Thanks. You too.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
It's time for this.
The Daily Connect.
Yes, it's back for 2019. Producer Andy is here with a look at what is coming up this weekend.
Oh, yes, it's back. Films, TVs, theatre, all that goodness stuff.
Yeah, I love it. I mean,
can't get enough.
Kind of nice. I mean, I don't go to the theatre as much as I would like to. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I've never go to this theatre. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't. It's not for any sort of reason. I like my house and I like staying in my house.
Yeah.
And Netflix and I become very good friends.
It's there if you need it.
Exactly,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't. So, right. But for other people do. It's not all about me, you know.
Yes, of course. What about films then? When's the last time you went to the cinema?
Oh, I haven't been to cinema in ages.
No?
No. I just wait till they come out on DVD.
Well, yeah.
If you actually work it out, it's cheaper to buy the DVD and make your own hot dog.
Make your own popcorn, yeah.
Right, so tell us what's coming up.
So in terms of films, there are two that are out this Friday that I want to mention. The first is Stan and Ollie. Now, this is a heartwarming story of what would become Laurel and Hardy's triumphant farewell variety hall tour of Britain and Ireland. It stars John C. Reilly, who you may know from Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, and also Steve Coogan, who we were talking about off-air earlier, better known as Alan Partridge. So, yeah, this is Stan and Ollie.
We just want to know who's playing Laurel and Hardy, please.
They're playing themselves.
Who are?
Laurel and Hardy. Here in person. The poster says they're here in person.
But they've been retired for years.
They're playing themselves.
Good afternoon, folks.
Look, Mammy. Hello.
Oh, ma'am, if you're buying tickets, tell them you're friends of ours. He'll charge you extra.
Two seats, front row.
Now, that trailer alone, or that clip, certainly makes me want to watch that.
Yeah, Hollywood's greatest double act, would you say?
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy.
Certainly the most well-known.
Brought to the big screen for the first time, apparently.
Yeah, I think I've ever... I mean, a lot of people probably don't know, especially nowadays, a lot of young folk probably don't know who's...
Wouldn't know who they
Laurel
are.
Laurel and Hardy are.
Same as Charlie Chaplin, yeah. It's a generation gone by.
But
yeah,
good.
Looks like it's a good film. The second film I want to talk about is called The Upside. This stars Chris Rock and Bryan Cranston. Chris Rock, the comedian, and Bryan Cranston, you may know from Breaking Bad. This chronicles the unexpected friendship between a billionaire left paralysed after a paragliding accident, that's Bryan Cranston, and the ex-con in need of a fresh start, that plays by Chris Rock.
Good morning, Mr. Scott.
Ain't it?
I can sign your paperwork.
There's no need. I'm going to take the gig.
Wouldn't it be better if I just signed your papers? You are not qualified for this position. You have never done it before.
Look, does he want me or not?
Yes, he does.
All right, so good. How much does it pay? Isn't that a month?
Per week.
All right, well, I can live with that. If you throw in a Metro card, unlimited.
A Metro card?
I gotta get here, don't I?
Mr. Scott, this is a live-in position.
Sounds interesting.
The trailer does make it sound a little bit serious, but it is described as a comedy drama.
I like the way she says Mr. Scott. I like that.
Mr. Scott. I might clip that and use that in the show in the future.
That suits me, yeah. Okay, that does sound good. This film has got a lot of heat, though, because of the fact that Bryan Cranston is playing the part of a disabled person, in this case, a quadriplegic person.
Quadriplegic, yeah. He's said earlier this week that he's an actor, that actors are meant to play things that they are not, in the same way that, you know, other people play aliens or play... Mm.
Well, we've had this discussion on the show many times. In fact, at the very beginning of this programme, when we started the show last year, this was one of our big topics. In fact, it kind of rolled on and on for months. We talked about this. You know, should it be the case that disabled actors play the parts? But the problem, of course, I guess, and I'm not defending this, but what I am wondering is, would a movie like this be as successful with an unknown actor, or alternatively with someone like Bryan Cranston, who a lot of people do know and like?
Yeah, as soon as you see the name Bryan Cranston, you think, I might go and see that film because I like him as an actor. I liked him in Trumbo and stuff like that.
I watched Skyscraper at the weekend, which stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a great movie. He plays the part of an amputee, and he's got, you know, if he wasn't in it, would I have maybe paid as much attention to this movie? I don't know.
No.
But he certainly would have been, he was the name that drew me to it.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's a tricky one.
But then how do you get disabled actors to get onto the level of Dwayne Johnson and Bryan Cranston?
Without that experience.
So that's good. Well, we'll have no doubt more conversation on that next week. But what else is going on?
So on TV this week, you'll be able to see the multi-award winning film Manchester by the Sea. That'll be on BBC Two. They're not in Wales, unfortunately.
Okay.
And the new series of Call the Midwife, it's up to series 8 now, will be starting again on Sunday on BBC One. That will be audio described.
That is something for the weekend.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
And that's it for the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening. Check out our podcast again Monday, which arrives just around about 5 o'clock in the evening every single weeknight. Or, of course, you can check out the show Monday to Friday, 10 o'clock to 12 on RNIB Connect Radio. Have a great weekend.
The Daily Connect Podcast.